Probably a particularly apt headline for today's episode of Cut the Clutter might be "Watch this space." Just watch this space, because politically, it seems that the issue we are talking about today might feature in our headlines, in our debates in times to come. We are talking about what is called the Bhojshala Kamal Maula Mosque Complex in the city of Dhar in Madhya Pradesh. Just in Madhya Pradesh, not far from Indore, but really the heart of India, that part of Madhya Pradesh, in the region of Madhya Pradesh that is called the Malwa-Nimad region. And of course, the Malwa-Nimad region also includes the district of Khandwa at its extremities. And that is very important for so many of us Hindi film music buffs, because the singer-actor Kishore Kumar was born here. That said, Indhar is located in the center of the city. This is a city built on a circular pattern by Raja Bhoj. Raja Bhoj was one of the illustrious and one of the most famous and storied rulers of the Paramar dynasty. He ruled from 1010 to 1055 AD. That's for 55 years. Remember, that is also the time when Ghazni's invasions into the Indian subcontinent have started and have also gained pace. In fact, it's one of the stories, elements in our history, India's history, that after his sack of Somnath Temple, when Ghazni was going back, he was apprehensive that he will be confronted by the large army of Raja Bhoj. And that's why he took a route to escape through Sindh, through the desert of Sindh. And in the process, en route, because of the lack of water and food, a lot of his army perished. But that was more than 1,000 years ago. That said, what's the story now? So the story is that while Raja Bhoj's capital was mostly Ujjain, he also used Dhar as a sometime capital and had built quite a lot of architecture here. And one of which was this area, this monument, this temple or a temple complex called Bhojshala. So the Hindu side calls it Bhojshala. The Muslim side calls it Kamal Maula Mosque. That's because that's after Kamaluddin, who was a Sufi saint of the Chishti clan, Sufi saint of the Chishti order, who died in 1331. There's an inscription there that he died in 1331, and his tomb was constructed next to a mosque. So it is evident that the mosque existed there before the tomb was constructed. We don't have an exact evidence of when the mosque was constructed. So the temple complex or the Bhojshala was constructed in the 11th century, maybe 11th century and partly in 12th century by the descendants of Raja Bhoj, because there was a lot of fighting also among the dynasties in the general region. That is the Yadavs, the Solankis and the Paramaras or Parmars who were ruling in Ujjain in any case. So there was a lot of fighting. The history is a little bit messed up. This is also a time when Ghazni has come in and he's messing up in the entire region. This is the period in which the Hindu side believes that a temple that stood at Bhojshala, a temple to Goddess Saraswati. Goddess Saraswati, also known as Vagdevi. Vagdevi literally means goddess of speech, articulation, learning. That there was a temple to her. A statue of Vagdevi, goddess Vagdevi, has not yet been found. What has been found, on the other hand, is a statue of Ambika. Now, Ambika is a statue. There is an inscription under it. It looks like it was a statue built by one of the followers of the Jain order. And the inscription under the statue suggests that the sculptor had made statues of three Jain goddesses and then also of Vagdevi. Doesn't say that this is a statue of Vagdevi. Now, this is the statue which in 1875 was found by a British ICS officer, William Kincaid, who picked it up and, as many British officers did at that time, took it back to London. This statue now sits in the British Museum. Under it is the inscription. That inscription says, makes a reference to Vagdevi and three other sculptures of Jain holy figures that the same sculptor made. It also says he made a sculpture of Vagdevi, but this is not that Vagdevi. So there's been a search for Vagdevi. This is Ambika. In fact, another Ambika statue was found in Sehore, also in Madhya Pradesh, not that far away. That now sits in the office of the district collector of Sehore. That fortunately was not taken away by one of the colonial bureaucrats to London. That is still there. Now, what is the controversy? The controversy is whose place of worship is it? Is it a temple? Is it a temple as constructed temple to Goddess Saraswati as constructed by Raja Bhoj? Or is it a mosque commemorating Kamaluddin, the Sufi Chishti saint, although he had died after the mosque had been constructed? This is where the contest is. What does the architecture looks like? Unfortunately, and it's a regret, I haven't been there, although I will catch up with this maybe on one of these election travels. I will get to Dhar. I haven't done it as yet, which is a regret. But it has a large number of sandstone pillars. You can see the picture. And these have been dated to 11th and 12th centuries. So on that, there isn't that much doubt. The kind of architecture that is seen in these pillars, again, I read from experts, from whatever is available for a quick read, looks like the architecture is not very different from what is seen in Ajmer and also the Qutub complex. So the pillars are one on top of the other to increase the height, so the ceiling could be higher. There is a range of Sanskrit and Prakrit inscriptions on the walls. It's almost like there is a museum on the walls. Now, we mentioned William Kincaid to you. William Kincaid, the ICS officer, he was walking around the ruins of the old city palace in Dhar, and that's where he found this statue of Ambika, which he took away with him. He also wrote his memoirs, and it's titled Rambles Among Ruins in Central India. He in fact says in his memoirs, so let me just say in his notes, that he did not see the evidence of a temple, that the Hindus at that point, if anything, called it Bhojshala Ka Madarsa. All of these things will be contested now. There was also around that time, just after him, a local officer called K.K. Lele, a local officer and obviously a self-taught expert. He was superintendent of education and archaeology in Dhar state. He, in fact, is the one who gave the place the name Bhojshala. And from then on, there's been a contest about this. Kincaid himself was a bit dismissive. He said that there is a tomb here and there's a mosque here, and in front of them, there is a well of wisdom. Now, if you're on the Hindu side, you will say the well of wisdom means this was a temple to Saraswati. Kincaid, on the other hand, is dismissive. He says, oh, it's called well of wisdom because that's where a lot of the Arabic scholarly books had been thrown. That's why it's called the Well of Wisdom. Now, it's true that after Raja Bhoj, while Ghazni and other invaders were coming in from the other side, and they were defeating local kings or making deals with them, either making deals with them or defeating them or sacking cities and destroying temples, there was also a lot of warfare with other native dynasties or indigenous dynasties, Chalukyas, for example, Vaghelas. Now, in the dying days of the Parmar dynasty, all dynasties decline at some point. In those days, Chalukyas and Vaghelas also came and sacked this region. So we don't exactly know what happened at that time. Now, what's happened is that for almost 1,000 years, nothing major happened here. 1875, the statue was discovered, the statue of Ambika, of which you can see a picture on your screen. And you can also see the inscription also. That was discovered. But in 1930s, the British government declared this to be a mosque. It remained a mosque. Then further agitation started. In 2003, by this time, Uma Bharti in Madhya Pradesh was leading a campaign to have this restored as a temple and to also get Hindus the right to worship here. 2003, remember, Madhya Pradesh was under Congress rule. Digvijay Singh was the chief minister, but Delhi was under the BJP rule. BJP means BJP-led NDA rule. Vajpayee government was in power. So it was at that point, on April 7, 2003, that's a decade, more than a decade after Ayodhya/Babri Masjid, that this issue was reopened. In fact, the stirrings of reopening this issue had started in the wake of the Ayodhya/Ram Janmabhoomi movement. On April 7, 2003, Vajpayee government, in consultation with the Digvijay Singh government, laid down the rules so that this place could now be used both as a mosque and as a temple. So they said every Friday in the afternoon, Muslims could come and say their namaz in the complex. On Tuesdays, only on Tuesdays, Hindu worshippers could come here to pray. from sunrise until sunset, they were allowed to bring maybe a couple of flowers and a few grains of rice, no more. So that's how they thought they will maintain the peace. On all other days of the week, the place was open to tourists who had to buy a ticket of 1 rupee each. This was the arrangement through the week for every week in a year except for one day. And that one day is Basant Panchmi. Now, Basant Panchmi is a day which is supposedly a special day for worshippers of goddess Saraswati. So for Basant Panchmi, a special dispensation was made that on Basant Panchmi, on whatever day of the week it falls, Hindu pilgrims will be allowed free access to the temple. Remember, normally it was limited to Tuesdays. Now, you know what? What does it remind you of? It reminds you of the Hagia Sophia situation in Istanbul. That's where the Christians said it's a church. The Muslims said it's a mosque. Kamal Ataturk came and he said it's neither a mosque nor a church. It's just an antiquity. Visit it as tourists. It's just a monument. The fact is, in this case, all three formulae have been applied. It's a temple and a mosque and also a monument or a place of antiquity for tourists to visit. That is the situation that's under challenge now. Because what's happened is, this post-April 7, 2003 arrangement worked out between the Atal Bihari Vajpayee government and Digvijay Singh government. This was sustaining, although Digvijay Singh lost power in December 2003, and then the BJP came into power in the state. And then it looked like the central government, particularly because Arjun Singh was there, they thought that this was a good reason. If there was trouble at Bhojshala, maybe on Basant Panchmi, that will be a good excuse to get rid of the BJP government here. Because those days, governments could still be dismissed by the center using Article 356. In fact, that was done precisely to dismiss Sundarlal Patwa's government in Madhya Pradesh after the Babri Masjid destruction. That's when Narasimha Rao was in power, a Congress government was in power in Delhi. So the BJP government was also afraid of being dismissed and they were managing it carefully. Uma Bharti was chief minister, did not last that long. Then other successors came. Ultimately, Shivraj Singh Chauhan came and settled down. Now this complex arrangement was continuing. Tuesday is yours, Friday is theirs. All other days are the tourists. Now, calendars can do funny things because the same dates or same festivals can fall on different days of the week. So in 2006, it so happened, the first time after this new arrangement had come into being, in 2006, Basant Panchmi fell on a Friday. Now, Friday is when the Muslims have the right to pray at the complex. Friday is when Basant Panchmi falls. Basant Panchmi is a day when Hindu pilgrims want to go there. So that led to a lot of tension. And maybe it looks like the center was watching for that situation, that maybe if the state government is not able to manage this, and if a crisis develops or if there is a communal riot, they can dismiss the state government. So state government was very tense as well. The orders were given that through the day Hindu pilgrims can come from sunrise until 12:30. Normally on Tuesdays they could come from sunrise until sunset. One day of Basant Panchmi again they could come from sunrise until sunset. Now because Basant Panchmi was falling on Friday, the order was, it was a complex order, that Hindu pilgrims can go there and pray from sunrise until 12:30. Then they clear out at 12:30. Between 12:30 and 1, Muslims can pray, and then the Muslims clear out, and then the Hindus come back because it's their special day, it's Basant Panchmi. Now, obviously, how do you get tens of thousands, if not lakhs of devotees there to clear out by a precise moment, by 12:30, so Muslims can come in? And there was an apprehension that this would lead to trouble, and trouble it led to. Until 2 o'clock, the Hindu pilgrims had not fully cleared out, and a riot-like situation was developing in Dhar. That is where the local BJP leaders also worked with the government to try and resolve the situation. At 2 p.m. or maybe 5 past 2, the Naib Imam of the mosque was taken with 13 other devotees on the roof of the mosque or thereabouts, from where people could see them. So they could see their namaz. That was done to diffuse the situation. The local leader who had helped the government diffuse the situation was Kailash Vijayvargiya, now a senior leader of the BJP. Kailash Vijayvargiya was then in the state government, the minister in charge of Dhar. So that complex story is there. Since then, that story is repeated twice again. because Basant Panchami again fell on a Friday in 2013 and 2016. What has happened now is the situation has taken a new turn, particularly after the beginning of the construction of the Ram Temple, that a group of Hindus called Hindu Front for Justice, led by Ranjana Agnihotri, she is the president, Ranjana Agnihotri filed a petition in the High Court, in this case the Indore bench of Madhya Pradesh High Court, asking for an ASI, Archaeological Survey of India, survey on this site to establish what exactly is this, what is the antiquity, what is the history, and ultimately, I am sure this will raise questions as to who owns the place or who does the place belong to. The High Court of Madhya Pradesh, the Indore bench, two-judge High Court bench, gave an order on March 11 asking the ASI to carry out a scientific survey of the site. This order was passed by the Indore bench of Madhya Pradesh High Court, and this was the bench of Justices S.A. Dharmadhikari and Dev Narayan Mishra. They also ordered the setting up of a five-member committee of senior-most officers of ASI led by either the DG ASI or at least the ADG of ASI, and asked for a report to be submitted within 6 weeks. And they asked for all modern scientific methods to be used, carbon dating, etc. Aggrieved by this, the Muslim side, in this case the Maulana Kamaluddin Welfare Society, they came to Supreme Court to get an injunction of this High Court order. Last week, the Supreme Court refused that injunction. This was the bench of Justice Rishikesh Roy and Justice P.K. Mishra. They said they issued notices to everybody. They said they are not injuncting this High Court order, but they said there should not be any excavation, physical excavation, nor should there be any change in character of the site. The High Court has to hear this again on 29th of April, by which time ASI is supposed to have completed their work and presented their report. Whether they will be able to do it or still ask for more time, we don't know. The Indore bench of the Madhya Pradesh High Court will now hear this case again on April 29. That's the date by which ASI is supposed to have finished their work and brought a report to the court. Whether they do it by that day or ask for more time, we don't know. But what we know is the story will not go away. And before I let you go, I will read out to you something that Uma Bharti had said about this site some time back. She had said, Bhojshala is like Somnath. It is not a Mathura, Kashi or Ayodhya. It is a temple that was raised, but a mosque was constructed adjacent to it, not over to it. What she is saying is that the other three sites, Mathura, Kashi and Ayodhya, the temple was destroyed and a mosque was constructed right where the temple stood. In this place, the mosque was constructed adjacent to it. So there's a difference between the sites. Also, we've seen some statements by the RSS chief, Mohan Bhagwat, basically saying that we are concerned more about these three, that is Kashi, Mathura, Ayodhya. Otherwise, we can't keep digging everywhere. Wherever we dig, we might find a temple underneath a mosque. You can't be searching for a shivling under every mosque. So the understanding so far has been, or had been, that this was confined to these three sites. However, if you see the discourse lately, you will find that on the Hindu side, very often people are talking of not three sites, but they are talking of four sites. I was also curious in terms of what is the fourth site. That fourth site is Bhojshala, and that has now become current because of the Supreme Court order last week, where they declined to injunct a Madhya Pradesh High Court Indore bench order to ASI to carry out a fresh scientific survey of the Bhojshala Kamalwala Mosque site.